Hi, this is Stuttering John Melendez from The Howard Stern Show. And for some really stupid reason, you're listening to The Mobile Horror Companion. Great name for a podcast, morons.
Let's give it a shot.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe?
The perfectly fine mobile horror companion. If those of you that are into podcasts like to listen to that kind of stuff.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Mobile Horror Companion. My name is Carlos Danger. Joining me is my co-host, Mr. Brian Spears. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
So hopefully I don't screw up the audio too badly on this episode. I noticed the last, we recorded two episodes in one sitting, and I had the audio too low and I didn't fix it in post, as they say. So for the 12 people who listen to us, sorry.
But I got earphones now on my new phone, so hopefully this will work better.
Yeah, and I figured out some other semi-technical stuff that I'm too embarrassed to admit that I didn't know beforehand. So I think we can definitely work with this episode if I take the time to, listen to the audio afterward, which I usually don't. We're not Pint of Comics. Pint of Comics, they spend hours editing their stuff. You know what I mean? They've got a couple of Peabodys and Grammys, but we're not that fancy. One day we'll be as cool as the Nomcast. But speaking
Netflix, right?
That is the Netflix original movie podcast, which does not cover what we're going to talk. Or maybe they do. Wait, no, only do original. No, they won't. They won't do this because it's a docuseries. We're going to be talking about the Netflix docuseries. Now that's the new term I learned.
No.
Docuseries. It's called Crime Scene: The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel, and it's the latest in what seems to be a never-ending stream of these Netflix crime shows.
It's like Lifetime took over, like a part of Lifetime has been taken over by Netflix now, or City Confidential. It used to be on on every 10 minutes on some cable channel like A&E or something like that, and they would always it's just the murder network now.
Netflix. The murder, yes. Well, yeah, it's like it's a couple of steps above the Reels channel now. Reels channel, yes, was supposed to be a thing, and you worked on one of their, was going to be a project with Richard Christie back in the day, when Reels first launched. And now I have a PS4 in my basement. It's sitting right next to me, and I have a TV down here, a Samsung, and it comes with its own little cheapy streaming service, you know what I mean? And every time I turn it on, it goes automatically to the Reels channel for some reason. And it's either, this week it's been, who's the guy from Three's Company? That John Ritter.
Oh, John Ritter.
It's just been a John Ritter documentary over and over again. And before that, it was Anna Nicole Smith. Every time I turned it on, it was Anna Nicole Smith.
I know, and they do Belushi's death, they'll do investigating the autopsy and all that kind of stuff.
Like the old AJ Benza show, a true Hollywood story, but even cheesier than those, because it's all just stock footage. There's the narration is somebody they picked off the street. But yeah, Netflix, I mean, that's what I feel a little bit about this particular documentary, Crime Scene: Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. It's not particularly good. I just got to get right to it.
I'll say this. It's compelling in a sense that I literally watched all of it. But you mentioned something in one of our threads that there's a specific moment. And I don't know if we are thinking the same moment. But then I'm am I going to wait all the way to the end and this is going to be it?
Well, we should throw out major spoilers. If you didn't watch the docuseries, turn this off right now, because we're going to assume you saw it and you're having a discussion with us about it. But I mean, should I reveal what it is? I mean, I can right off the bat with my major problem with it, and it's a little woke, right? I might be being a little politically correct.
Oh, maybe this. I'm completely different. All right. So yeah.
All right. What spoiled it for me was they have like a shot, or they mention at some point the antidepressants she was on.
Oh, all right. Same thing. Yeah. I'm sorry. This girl had issues.
She had severe mental health problems.
Like right there and then I was like, wait, and that's where I said, is this going to go to the end and we're just going to find out that she killed herself?
Yep.
I was so pissed off.
It was, yeah, they basically.
And I love Netflix. I've worked for them. I'm not knocking it. They did a good compelling job, like to make this more than it was.
Well, whoever that's my directed problem with it. Oh, it's Joe Berlinger or whatever his name is.
He produced it, right? He produced it.
No, I think he directed it, dude.
Because Ron Howard and Grazier also produced it.
Right. That's right. It's got every name. I thought I saw an interview with the New York Times where he talks about.
I wouldn't doubt it if he did, but if he did, man, that's like, come on, dude. I was infuriating because at the end, when it's all revealed, it realizes like three episodes of this. You could have done episode one and episode four, and it's a story about a girl, you know, and if anything, it pays disrespect to her in the sense that, yeah, this girl was nuts.
He directed it. He definitely directed it.
Okay. Really? Man, that's a sad, like he literally like invented a movie, I think. Like, and again, I would have rather seen the movie about the internet sleuths that got it wrong.
They gloss over that. So, like,
you know, like
it's
that
annoying.
And again, for a little bit there, I'm like, all right, where's this going? I got really nervous because they did. Everything was a red herring. And I was like, I should have caught on to it because they didn't catch me till the end. Everything was a red herring. Like one episode was one whole red herring or at the end, they'd set up the red herring. And then the very next episode, they'd like demystify that.
Well, yeah, and they did stuff like, I mean, first of all, we should talk about, okay, so if you haven't seen it, the Cecil Hotel is this old, huge, whatever, 1920s era hotel in downtown Los Angeles on what became Skid Row. It's got like 118 rooms or 318 rooms or whatever.
Or 700 it is. Rooms, man. Yeah, I think it's massive. 700 rooms. I don't know what that means, though. Because maybe like they're like, hey, you could use two rooms in one, you know, one. I don't, you know what I mean? Because it has two, yeah, whatever.
Right. They don't even make buildings that big anymore. So it's this grand old building. You know, once the Great Depression hit, it started to go down, and then it was basically a flop house for generations, right on Skid Row there. And I guess at some point, I don't remember, it was the 90s or within the last 20 years. They rebranded part of the structure to like make it more of a hostel for young travelers. And this young woman comes down from Canada, stays in there and disappears. No one knows what happened to her. And eventually the police release this, which became famous, or what became famous, elevator tape. And I saw it on YouTube only within the last couple of years. And I saw that that video without any, it just kind of said like totally creepy, whatever. And I gotta say, of like anything of that ilk I've watched on YouTube, that one did creep me out. Like it was legitimately scary to watch because you're like, what is going on in this video? It's so weird. You know, and it turns out the girl was dead. So the documentary tells her story sort of. But like we've already said, it was actually very straightforward. There was no great mystery. There certainly wasn't a mystery that should stretch out one hour over like six episodes.
Like you maybe could have made this a good 2-hour little story.
Right.
Whether it be a docudrama or it be a movie. But really, what you just said there is this was a, which again, the documentary was so misleading. Because they do interview the police officers. So you know right. They sat with them for 20 minutes and they told the whole story and that
was
it.
Here's what happened. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We couldn't find her for a little bit. We found her. We didn't know how she got into this water tank on the roof. It turns out she was bipolar and was having a severe episode. So like mystery. And I guess that's what bothered me at the end of the day. Well, first I had started off, but before I explained the plot of the movie, you were bringing up something, these red herrings. And yes, what I hated about it, especially after you kind of figure out, oh, wait a second, she was on meds. You know, this obviously had to do with substance abuse. She wasn't murdered or anything. Not substance abuse. I mean, mental health issues. Yes. You know, and at one point, though, they kind of make it seem like, and they give credence to, well, maybe this death metal guy did it.
Oh, my God. They ruined some guy's bad YouTube music. That guy was going nowhere.
Right, but I mean, like, even in the movie, they don't say that they like it ends on like a cliffhanger. Like they present him as if he really is a suspect, but he's not a suspect at all. So they tell it in a chronological way to sort of this cheap narrative device to keep you coming back to the documentary. But I just found it so unfair. And the fact that what really got me about the whole thing was at the very end of the last episode, they just tack on there, oh, if you know somebody with mental health issues, here, call this number, go to this website. And it's like, you know, come on, to take that long to get to that, I thought was, it's exploitation, it's dismissive, it plays up like stigma and stereotypes about people who are bipolar. And, you know, not to get on a high, but it's like, you didn't need to do all that.
Well,
why? Because now you have this formula where it has to be six episodes and you have to like, oh, here's a crazy plot twist when there is none.
There was no plot twist. Like you said, this was straightforward. This was a straightforward. Yeah, it took some time to find her. There might have been some issues here and there, but it was a straightforward. These cops never looked into this heavy metal guy. Like all these things that were going on, you know, it turns out maybe the video was slowed down.
Well, yeah. And I think just like from a, you know, from a perspective is the fact that the police released that video and let it go on for that long, that they probably didn't do themselves because they you know, there's no context to it. It's just, she was still missing and they released this crazy video that goes on for 4 minutes of like an elevator just sitting. It just like, it added this unnatural level of creepiness to it. And, you know, the fact that they keep hidden for several episodes, she had been kicked out of like a Jerry Springer taping or whatever it was. She was walking around. She wouldn't let other people into the room she was sharing.
The chick that sounded like Breaking Bad. The chick that like the Better Call Saul.
Rhea, whatever her name is. Yeah.
She said she was writing notes on all these other people's rooms.
Right. She was in the middle of a terrible episode, you know, like a terrible mental health crisis.
And was known to have these before.
Right. And they just, they don't tell you.
That's the other thing.
They don't tell you any of that. They go back and they read her diary. And it's
could have been the cops. The first 5 minutes could have been the cops and the family, and this whole thing is over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it's not as sexy to make a story about mental health issues.
And here's the sad thing.
But
I just found out Sunday because I ran into Pete. We were talking.
Pete Gerner is your
my
special effects makeup artist guy.
Yeah. It turns out, and I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but a guy that we did a movie with, one of our first movies, a guy that actually we liked, I wasn't a big fan of the movie. I never talk badly about the movies I work on. Well, except for Glenn Beasley movies, but they're so bad. You got to check them out.
Light and Dark Productions.
I just found out one of the actors, the lead actor, committed suicide. Ooh. He was 43 years old.
Oh.
And he was, I guess, was 10 years diagnosed as bipolar. And I guess, you know, when I knew him, he didn't drink, you know, he didn't party. He was a good, you know, very healthy. You know, it sounds like, and I read his obituary because, you know, Pete was mentioned it and I looked it up and he just having this for 10 years flipped on him. Like he just, even just to take the medication, his life had changed. A guy committed suicide. Like he was a good guy. I don't know him that well. You know what I mean? I mean, this was almost 20 years ago, but it's just weird because then I go and watch this documentary where it was this simple. And I don't mean to sound callous that it's so simple, but this was a disturbed person. And event, you know, rather than make it like, right. You know, if you want to celebrate her life, this was not the way to celebrate her life. Or to give awareness to a mental illness, to make it this murder mystery at this creepy hotel.
It doesn't.
Was almost
it doesn't,
like
it doesn't. It doesn't, even, it doesn't fit into. you know, they're insinuating maybe the hotel's haunted. Like when I first turned it on, I was like, oh my God, is this going to say like the hotel's haunted? I'm like, this is just not what I want to sit through. It didn't quite do that. But even to go into the whole backstory of the hotel was, that was, yeah, not neat. And it's the point, like, people are aware and now know what something like, if bipolar, like what that means to a certain extent. People were all sort of more aware of it, especially in the middle of a global pandemic where the suicide rates are rising and substance abuse is through the roof and they're worried about kids having anxiety. Like, it's something if you pick up a newspaper, you know, we just had people storm the Capitol. That's how, you know, crazy people are going.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, like, our politics are based on conspiracy theories.
It's wait, whose politics?
Well, oh, just in politics. General.
Yeah.
Well, right, just, right, right. I don't mean mine, certainly not mine, but, you know, it seems like that's taken over politics.
Yeah, right. This, I couldn't think of a worse time for this documentary to come out, like, than right now.
No, it's not a documentary. What's right. What are they documenting? That's kind of what, also cinematically, that's sort of what pisses me off more than anything lately. Listen, I get more out of 10 minutes on YouTube looking up a subject now. And that's just some dude that does more research in his room that's into it more. Now, I don't know if his information, like the problem with YouTube is you need to watch 12 videos to make sure the information, you know, or it could just all be based on one guy's Wikipedia.
You gotta
page.
Follow back. All right. If they source something, you gotta go there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is frustrating, but it's not entertainment. Almost like a documentary. The story of the documentary, the subject matter, is usually what compels me to watch it. I'm a guy, yeah, sure, I like a good murder story. But the problem I have with this is, now it makes you question everything. And now it makes you like, what, is that real? Is that? And I don't like creating a narrative. I understand you have to, when you make a documentary, you need to, you know, you need to guide a...
It's supposed to be compelling.
Yeah, it's supposed to be compelling, and you're supposed to have a narrative there. But you don't write that narrative. Like, to me, this was all created in editing. Because literally, if you just interviewed the cops.
Yeah, right.
They just said she had a problem. After right. 19, you know, all right, we realize now, oh, I guess the whole thing was the lid on or off. But I mean, even if it wasn't on or off, the woman was on medication. Severe bipolar, severe psychotics. It was so wrong to make this documentary.
For them to completely hide the fact that, like, the hotel was somewhat aware of it, to leave that.
And
to
also,
the very
was the
end.
Biggest letdown to a documentary.
Right. Yeah. You build up this big. Yeah. And like,
I felt bad for watching it because it's like, oh, I feel sorry for her because she, you know, I'm investigating. I'm invested in a murder now. Like, I'm thinking this is like, who's the killer? Who's this? You know, there's a madman out there.
And now there's this like celebration of the web sleuth, which even in Don't F with Cats, and we had talked about that, I felt like, you know, all right, the web people were interesting to a certain extent. And it's, you know, they were interested in the case and trying to help. But at the end of the day, it's still like, it's the police work. Like, if you read like a warrant for that guy that was arrested or whatever happened to him in that case, it doesn't like, it's not like a web sleuth told us. It's like, they just did basic, not, you know, not to downplay what they did, but it's basic detective work.
Yes.
And they keep
also
on.
Something they're trained for. Like,
this is the second Netflix documentary that's thrown in web sleuth just so they could, just because it's, you know, it's a hook.
It's hip. It's the thing now. It's because everyone, you know, considers themselves that, or they get invested in these things.
In this one, they're completely wrong. And I felt like this was an opportunity to sort of go at these people a little bit.
Well, that's where I thought, I'm like,
and they don't do that. It's just kind of like, it's like, oh, they granted an interview with us, so we'll let them off easy. And, you know, the guy, at one point, he goes and visits her grave, and you get images of these people, the web sleuths, like they go to the crime scene. I mean, long after it's, you know, it's not a crime scene anymore, but they go to the hotel, and they're giggling, and they're like, they're basically like, you know, trashy Instagram influencers, you know.
Well, that's
that
the other thing, they're just doing it for their selfish grossness. Reasons,
right?
It's
and the documentary selfish. It's like, that just goes right over the director's head. It's not presented in that way, though, because you're sitting there like, well, these people suck. Why aren't you asking them, like, how could you do that? Why are you smiling if you're at where this person disappeared? Why are you smiling and giggling about it like a schoolgirl?
And also, to me, what upset me more than anything was there was just no, like, no, guys, you were wrong. There was no conclusion to that story.
Right. You get like 5 seconds of a guy saying like, oh, I, when I go back and watch, I can see that I'm in like in conspiracy mode. It's like, couldn't you have done us a favor and expanded upon that, considering that like the nation's been ruled by a conspiracy theorist for the past 4 years and it's infected?
The
first time in American history we didn't have a transfer of power because of misinformation and conspiracy theories. And there you've got people talking about it, people who fell victim to a conspiracy theory that, like, at least this guy, one guy, the black metal guy, black death metal guy, says it ruined his life.
Yeah.
And there's no, it's just like thrown into the story. I don't know. And Joe Berlinger is the guy, right? Did he make My Brother's Keeper? I believe
That guy is like
the Memphis Three or whatever they were.
Memphis Three made them, you know, he got them out of jail.
He got them out of jail. Like he was like them and what?
Well,
Errol Morris?
I can't believe this.
Now he's just like, it's like.
He did that Ted Bundy one. And I,
he's a journeyman.
Again,
I didn't love that journeyman one
because, again, I don't think it was anything new in material. Like, I think it was everything you can find now about Ted Bundy. And again, this, I knew nothing about the Cecil Hotel.
Me neither.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
It should have been compelling to us because we didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
We're old guys. We're not that hip on the internet.
And also, I was genuinely like, you know, when they were showing the video back and forth, and you're like, whoa, man, she is moving weird. Like, it sucked me in. That got me. I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, are you seeing a shoe? Are you seeing this? But then the minute they said...
They show the pills. They show like a pile of pills, and you're like, "Oh, okay. This is psychosis. You're seeing a person in the throes of crises, which changes the whole outlook of the thing."
And again, it's going to be popular for the next week and a half, and I just find that sort of frustrating because this is not like, I know it's the joke now, you know, like. You know, everyone watches true crime. All the ladies that watch true crime, you know, like it's become sexy. It's become like the cool thing to do. And like, well, everyone's into it.
There's that documentary about Patton Oswalt's late wife.
Yes.
And they go into a little bit. That's probably one of the best of this current crop that we're seeing for the last year. That's by far the best. And they talk a little bit about, well, why are specifically females into some of this true crime stuff? And it's like an expression of their vulnerability, and it kind of connects with them. So I thought that was interesting. Just to look at it that way, I had never considered or thought that.
But I think this one is playing into that demographic.
Oh, it's just...
But like totally like, you know, like this is a Walmart version instead of, you know, Macy's. You know what I mean? Like, you should be making Macy's.
Macy's, baby. I don't even know if...
I don't know if that's cool. I don't know. Listen, we just said we're old men. I'm just going by what was in the mall. Like, you know...
Hot Topic. It's no Hot Topic, baby.
But, like, I just think, like, this is not true crime.
It was invented.
This is more like... I don't know. If Joe Berlinger made this, I would have more respect if this was a 2-hour and you hired a bunch of actors and played this story out, and maybe I saw you blame a heavy metal guy. Like, in maybe a 2-hour movie, I would believe all this and be more into it. Hmm. And then it just turns out she was on medication.
Yeah, you know,
but
you bring
it's
up a
so
good
weird.
Point. It did feel to me like the YouTubers that I don't think they actually use the Do they use those? I don't know, but the YouTubers that they sort of interview, they seem fake to me. Like they seem like they're just totally putting on a front. Like that seems scripted. But
he interviewed that couple. That was so frustrating.
Oh, God,
a couple.
I forgot. They stayed there.
Now, right in their first interview, they say it was dirty, it was gross, but we were only gonna like shower and sleep there. Or like wash up, they said, not even shower. And now the girl was dead in the water. She was like, ew, we drank it. Meanwhile, like they made it seem like they knew this place was grungy. I know, again, I don't expect anyone to get black water,
well,
but
I don't understand. I guess he must have been looking through the archival footage, and they were interviewed by a TV news crew.
Why did he not need
all he needed was that reaction to it when people were like, oh, yeah, we drank that. This is totally creeping us out. Like, to have them, like, don't they introduce the whole documentary? It, like, starts off with these annoying English people. Who looked like maybe they were still in the hotel.
Well, again, when it was a series, I thought it was going to be maybe 3 or 4 or 5 different, like, more
things that happened.
That happened in this hotel.
Yeah. And I guess I'm looking at some of the reviews of it. and they're not all great. I mean, I don't know how it is in general, but first I read, I guess on February 12th, the New York Times did an interview with the director, again, Joe Berlinger, or Berlinger, however he says his name. But like, it goes on about how he even worries that maybe there's too much true crime going on. But he made Brother's Keeper, Paradise Lost, you know.
Blair Witch 2.
Blair Witch 2. That movie. And you like that, right?
I love that movie.
But it also mentions like
he's a Westchester guy too, from what I remember. I don't know if he still is, but
I do remember he lived in the town where we grew up, but they would call it Katona because he was like in that part of Somers, New York. But okay, so his recent body of work comprises several TV docuseries about sensational crimes, including Conversations with the Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, Unspeakable Crime, the killing of Jessica Chambers, and Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. But call him a true crime filmmaker and he bristles. I'm described as a true crime pioneer. I like the pioneer part. The true crime thing makes me a little nervous because I think of myself as more a social justice filmmaker.
Yeah, but if he says that, why didn't he make... You know what? Where they did the testimonials and then said the girls like will live on through her writing, why not make the movie about that and tell that like this is what happened to her?
And by the time you get to that, yeah, you've led us down so many false paths and things that you portray as true, and then you say in the next, oh yeah, no, I was nothing. Just
like he should have made the documentary about those people that made it look like it was a bigger deal than it was.
Right,
that's the true crime. The true crime is they blame some guy for this. Yeah, I mean, when I say they, it's not like like the internet blames somebody. Not police, not anyone important. You know, the case was eventually solved.
A bunch kind of smugs.
You know, this is, I mean, this would be a very big letdown on like, you know, network TV. And that's why they made it so sensationalized and created drama with this thing. I think this was all created in editing. I don't, you know, they literally, you could write this narrative.
There's another review I saw, I guess it was in CNET. Like, you never know where you're going to find movie reviews these days. Netflix Cecil
What's
Hotel.
CNET?
I don't know. So it's like a technology type website. Oh, okay. They do tech news and things like that. And I guess they review movies. I don't know. It's streaming. I guess that's the connection. It's a Netflix Cecil Hotel documentary, an irresponsible, bloated mess.
All right, cool.
So even they... it's bad, and not just bad. Crime scene, the vanishing at the Cecil Hotel, is bloated, dull, and confusing. It's irresponsible and dishonest, indulging conspiracy theories that put vulnerable victims at further risk. Then there was a dude on Reddit, which I really like. You know, Reddit has like a whole documentary section where people just refer stuff. But this some random person on Reddit was like, I've tried to put my thoughts into words, but I'm also not the best reviewer. So yeah, I watched the documentary the other day, and when I finished it, I felt frustrated. The more it's come up in conversation, of which has not been very positive, I felt a seething anger at the documentary more and more. I've come to the conclusion that it's not even bad. It's just outright disrespectful and, in my opinion, a disgusting approach to telling a story. And that's it's a long post, and it goes on for some of the same reasons that we've just been discussing the last half hour or so.
Do you remember Making a Murder?
Oh, sure. Making a Murder. Yeah. That was like the major one that started this push.
And that one, like, you know, I have questions about that. And I do think that was very well produced. You know what I mean? Like but that seems to be like they got like dumber and dumber after that. Like,
it's a genre. It's a genre. This was like never a genre. And it's like, and the other thing I don't get is...
But it's news. Like, I don't get like why they're making something to something that there could be a real story there. I mean, yes, this girl was missing for 19 days. That is I know that happens a lot. Now, if the story was about at the end, like, oh, wow, maybe we should be aware of people and, you know, raise awareness for people with these disabilities of, you know, and this is bipolar. Like, I just don't get why this was made. I feel like the guy from Reddit. I am so angry because, again, they sucked me in for like one whole episode. I was like, whoa.
Whatever Netflix uses to gauge its view, I mean, it's got to be clicks who watches it, because I think people just eat this stuff up. I mean, I've been sort of expanding my podcast horizons. You know, I primarily listen to comedy podcasts, you know, the Joe Rogan, although not as much as I used to, you know, Mark Maron, Greg Fitzsimmons, yeah. Gilbert Gottfried. It's always somehow connected to comedy. I just prefer those podcasts, those interviews. I love a comic interviewing another comic.
Paul F. Tompkins, he has one, or Paul?
Yeah.
Kevin Pollak.
Right, that's a good one. He's an old school one. I think he stopped his Kevin Pollak. He was like a pretty.
Well,
early,
I'm always like 2 years
guy.
Behind you. I'm just getting into Mark Maron, and I'm like freaking in love with that.
So there's those, and then I expand a little bit into like some right before the election, some of the politics ones, you know. Although now it's like I used to listen to like this Pod Saves America, and there's like this really anti-Trump, but it's guys from Obama's administration. So now they're just like they kiss Biden's, but now I'm less like done with it. They're just apologists for the whole Democratic Party. So I don't want to listen to it anymore. So then I've been searching for new ones because I've been having trouble sleeping, and like the true crime genre is the dominant genre of podcasts.
Yeah,
like there, it's everywhere. There are, and on our Twitter feed, Mobile Horror, Mobile HC at Mobile HC 666 on Twitter, it's true crime. And yet it's the same people who listen to these podcasts and watch these murder shows. It's exploitation. And hey, you know what? I got nothing against exploitation, but just call it exploitation. They're the same people that'll bash the media for being sensational. That'll, if there's a horrible thing that happens in the community, these are the first people on Facebook who are attacking the media for reporting this. And it's like, give me a break. It's so hypocritical. It just makes me so angry. But that's the state of where we're at. So and these are just going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep watching them.
I know. Well, while, there is a good one. They get me every time.
Like HBO just did one, and I'm going to get the Lady Dale. It was about the woman who made the three-wheeled car.
The car, yeah.
Yeah, and she was a con man for the vast majority of her life.
That was the one thing.
It's worth
I did
watching.
Today.
It's still better. It's way better than this. There are a lot of other documentaries to watch other than this.
Well,
I'm
excited because it took like 3 hours and I almost broke my phone. I called a tech service company and yelled at probably somebody from another country, but I finally got, because I'm already paying for HBO, I got HBO Max. So
what does that have to do with your phone?
Well, I just could, you know, cause you have to send you something to your phone. And it turns out I didn't have this number from my cable company, but then they get my cable company to redo this. No, it was a whole thing. Cause I had cable.
Dude, your
so long.
You have cable vision, right?
Yeah.
That's
Optimum.
Like, well, it's, yeah. They rebranded themselves, I think. That's,
but yeah, the
that's
problem
a,
is
that's like
they're
a whole
asking
other
for,
world.
They're asking for a code so I can get the goddamn thing for free. Cause I'm paying for it anyways. And like, I'm almost on the verge of canceling cable, but I'm like, let me just see if this is a service I would want, and I get it for free. So now I got this Hulu, I mean a Fire Stick thing, and I'm working on it, and like, this is why I just want to buy a goddamn cracked you know, I work in the entertainment industry and I want to get somewhere where I could just get stolen movies for free, but because I'm an honest guy, I don't do that. So anyways, I guess I have had cable so long, I never, like, I don't have an internet code or something, I didn't have it.
That's
so just
so
to
bizarre.
Get that stupid would, thing so I could type in.
I would love to know like exactly what you're talking about, because like that just sounds so crazy.
I didn't have like my Optimum username.
Huh.
Oh, sorry. It wasn't set up for email. Like it wasn't set up for internet. Like or like where I had a code number that I could apply to other apps or whatever.
The thing about like, because I do streaming. And it was saving me money for a very short time. But, you know, I do YouTube TV and they've tripled their prices. Like yeah. YouTube TV, it's $100 a month, essentially. I think it's like 70, but it's $100. What gets me, what I can't, and I think this is my age, like if I don't have that menu in front of me, and I'm pretty sure you're the same way. You always have the menu on. Like what's on? What's on TV? You got to have that menu. Here's what's on FX or CBS and blah, blah, blah. When you do like the Hulus and the Netflix and HBO Max, they don't have that.
No,
like,
they don't.
Just it, just, and I like find myself. It's like a.
That's
weird
why I don't
thing.
Watch anything anymore.
It feels like my fly's open. I'm like, I need that, and I just find like the YouTube does have that. YouTube TV has the old.
See, yeah, those, the services I'm using don't, so you can't follow anything.
It's a pain. There's something about I'm so used to that, like my whole life of doing that.
And also I do a lot of switching. Like, all right, well, right. I switched through this. I'm going to go switch through that. So now, I mean, I guess it's cool. I got HBO. I'll be able to switch through a bunch of more stuff. But like, I've been missing out on a few, like, I know it's horrible, but I missed out on Wonder Woman because now it's streaming. I guess they took it off HBO.
Oh, they're only doing it for like 30 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just watched that Denzel Washington movie.
Is that the one with Jared Leto? Jared Leto. It's bad, right? I've read nothing but bad reviews of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the actors are good and it's some creepy stuff, but the end of it is just the way it's resolved and what happens. Just watch Seven. It's a better movie and, like, you know, way cooler. And I guess that was the only movie that I'm like dying, like, because I've kind of watched a bunch of other stuff. I'm watching now all these canon movies because I watched that documentary all the time. It was called Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
So I've been going through all these, but they're not even the good ones. It's all the bad Charles Bronson movies, like, right, you know, when his career was over.
I was thinking a couple of weeks back, so I read something about Charles Bronson. Oh, you know what it was? It was Kurt Russell telling a Charles Bronson story.
Oh, wow,
if anybody looks that up on YouTube, I believe he was on, God, was it on like Conan or John? I don't know where he was, but it talks about, like, you know, Charles Bronson was known for being a pain in the ass, like just nasty. Yeah. But he showed Kurt Russell like effect. Kurt Russell was a kid, by the way. This is when Kurt Russell was like working Disney movies or whatever. But it's, I won't go through it because I won't do it justice, but it's worth seeking out. It's a quick, cool story. But it made me think, like, I wonder if it would be like Pint of Comics watches all the Friday the 13th movies and then talks about them. It would probably be worth going through a bunch of those Charlie Bronson movies.
I would love to do that.
I loved them as a kid, but I know I've seen one or two and I'm like, ooh, The Mechanic? Boring as hell.
The two things I came out in the last 3 weeks or last month, and I think I've even mentioned this on the show, like, everyone reveres Death Wish. Death Wish is a really bad movie, especially now. It's really dated. And Mr. Majestic is Death Wish with like a better plot, more likable characters.
That's the one I've sat through Mr. Majestic and thought it's got a cool 70s vibe. Like that seems to be the one that stands the test of time. Although I got to sit through again because it affected me and freaked me out as a kid so much, is The Evil That Men Do. I got to sit through that again and see.
And I saw 10, I just recently when I was away, I saw 10 to Midnight.
10 to Midnight is like just, I've only seen bits and parts of it. And that's just, it's batshit crazy. That movie's crazy.
But now, like the other day, I watched Murphy's Law or something like that, or it's one of those, because, you know, his titles are so, and I think up this weekend will be Kinjite, Forbidden Subjects.
Oh, yeah, we should do that. We should just start talking.
That and Chuck Norris is another one I'm like, how that, Chuck Norris was an old man.
When he was making those movies.
When we were little kids. And he's still.
He was past his fighting prime. He was like way past his like competitive, you know, stuff back then. Good Guys Wear Black. I used to love those.
Because again, I am having issues like, well, hey, finding a movie to watch that like just holds. I'm just not, I don't know. And it probably is the times. I have been maybe distracted. I think based on me watching way too much politics on YouTube, I've sort of become what a little kid is. My attention span,
I feel that
is
too,
perfect for YouTube. Because I am, dude, burning through Tiger Belly. I am burning, dude. I'm watching, you know, the dude that played Lex Luthor in one of those Superboy shows has a podcast where he interviews like celebrities.
Oh, no kidding.
Went on a whole Michael Rosenbaum or something like that. I went on a whole like Judd Apatow and like Freaks and Geeks interviews. I went on,
what's
I was
great
watching
about those. Those podcasts, if you're bored, like Tiger Belly, you can fast forward it and you're not missing anything per se. You can just fast forward 40 minutes and pick up the conversation there.
But sometimes the minutiae, I mean, the best part about Tiger Belly is, you know, the introductions where they don't get to an introduction.
Right, yeah. And they can't talk, but never gets old.
Bobby Lee just doesn't talk, like he just tells the guest like something, the stupidest story that kind of isn't going to go anywhere. It's just like minutia almost takes over the guy's time telling a story that doesn't go anywhere. Or he has a great guest and they tell great stories.
He's like, also got like, if you look up like Bobby Lee getting mad at guests, that's a compilation.
I've watched a bunch.
I think me and you watched it. There's this guy, and I'm almost afraid to mention him because I don't know what the guy's deal is. Red Bar, it's called Red Bar Radio. Oh. He was on like that Anthony Cumia crazy network, and they had some kind of falling out. But basically, he's like this miserable a-hole of a guy who just complains and bashes all comics.
Is he the guy where he has like four comics on? Maybe I don't know that. And one guy sometimes wears a captain's hat.
No, that's Kevin Brennan. That's Kevin Brennan. Okay. No, but it's like a YouTube show, but it's well produced. The guy must have a background in radio. He's got like a bushy beard. I don't know. If you look up Red Bar, he just hates everything. But anyway, that's just one of those random. I don't know. I found myself in a wormhole of like hate watching that guy.
But see, that's where I go into those and I watch a bunch of true crime on that, which gets a little freaky because it is just, it's all those. Well, see, now I have to go back and rethink
just
watching.
They're just reading from Wikipedia.
Yeah, but also I don't know. Now after watching this documentary, I'm sort of upset. Like maybe I'm not going to give those people my time of day because these sleuths aren't really sleuths.
They're just full of it. Oh, it sounds like there's World War III going up in my house. I hear some screaming. Maybe there's a massacre happening here.
Great. We'll make
but
a
I guess with
show.
That, other than that, the only thing I watched that I might have already mentioned it in the previous episodes, I watched Thief recently. Thief is on, I think, HBO Max. And so I went through and watched, I think I mentioned it. But like,
you
that's
didn't.
Like.
Oh, are you watching WandaVision anymore? Or did you stop?
No, dude. After those first two episodes, I'm like, I'm not going back to it.
I mean, I'm not watching it, but like every week something pops. There's like it's making so much news, and I'm like, really?
I think that's just. I hate to use that word sheep because it's so condescending, but to me, that's a sheep thing. Like,
well, I think it's really just to propel Marvel into their next phase.
That was what was. Sorry.
It seems to be no other reason because again, it makes news every week in these geek circles that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's just there, almost like it's the preview channel of what's to come. And again, I don't read any of it. I don't watch any of it. I don't follow comic book either. I watch every one of those movies when they come out or what have you, but I don't like religiously follow it, almost to the point where I find it distracting now. That and Star Wars stuff, I just find distracting. I just stay away from because it's either too early to discuss or I'm just going to discuss it when I see it.
Yeah. And yeah, the thing about WandaVision, the biggest reaction I saw when like, cause I watched that first episode, like the day it came out, cause they released two at once. And I'm looking at Twitter. I'm like, what's going on? And people were just like, I'm just so happy there's new Marvel content. I'm just so happy there's something new. I'm like, how is just the fact that they released something automatically? That's what I was like. These people are nuts. Like that's your review that they released.
And
something,
the sad thing is,
and therefore it's good.
I'm not saying little things with Jared Leto and Denzel was great, but a movie like that thank God for COVID because that movie would have made no money in the theater because it's too adult. Let's take plot. And if it's any good aside, because we could say that about every Marvel movie too. You know what I mean? Are they really good at the end of the day? But that movie will not get made anymore. I just don't think we're not going to see any good movies in a very long time. Like, or this will be the market now. It's just going to be, which I'm fine with watching at my own house now. You know, maybe I'll buy a bigger TV in a couple of years, you know, like, I don't know if
I am sort of like, yeah, I see there's some things I'm like, oh, I'll probably never watch it. Oh, it's going to be on HBO. Guess I'll check out King Kong versus Godzilla. There's just one I saw a commercial today. I was like, oh, good. It's coming to HBO. All right. I'll check it out.
And that's half the only other reason I died to get that set up today is because, I don't want to go, like, they're not something I will never go to a theater for. And I'm like, oh, well, if I just put this code in, I get it for free.
If it's there, yeah.
If it's there, I'll watch it. But that's the problem. I feel that way about a lot of things right now. If it's there, I watch it.
the other day, my wife got into and started binge watching Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah?
On Netflix. Yeah. So there's, I don't know what it was. Oh, wait. You know what? I'm getting, she, that did happen. And she liked it, but no, it was another show.
That was a better show.
No. It was The Sinner with
The Sinner.
Jessica. That's great.
I like that show. Yeah.
Jessica Biel.
Yep.
Okay. So the opening of that show.
We didn't do the first episode.
Damn it. There goes. Well, I don't know if it was the first episode. Maybe I have my time.
No,
off,
it was. But anyway, because.
All I know is that they show this corpse and it's bloody. It's a bloody corpse. I guess it's the person she stabbed, and it freaked my kids out. But I was just like, no, that's Brian. You know, Brian, that's Brian did that. It's okay. It's fake. Cause like my daughter was getting like, ugh. Not that we sit there and watch violence.
I know, but if they walk through
happened
that,
to be in
yeah.
the room.
Yeah.
You know? So I was
and
like,
it is
oh.
a scene that I think that happens like, boom. Like that's the way it's written yeah. in the script. Like it's
she,
like,
yeah,
boom,
she didn't ask the actual, happens. She didn't watch the actual stabbing just before anybody calls Child Protective Services on me. It was a scene where either they flashed back and like, it was the guy in the morgue or on a, I don't know what, but I was just like, oh, it's blood. That's Brian's blood. But apparently I was wrong, which I'm going to tell them.
Real quick thing. I know you want to go.
I like Bill Pullman in that show. Cause he's always just like
dude, Bill Pullman is the man. And I didn't really hang out with Bill Pullman once, but I'll tell you one quick Bill Pullman story. I was there the third season and he was celebrating his birthday. And all the girls had all these pictures up.
What do you mean the girls? Of him. Who are the girls? You mean the
like the makeup women? Girls and the hair girls, like they all decorated, had this big I think they turned the trailer into like a luau for him or something like that, or rustic, because he's a real, you know, chopping wood kind of guy. And they had all these pictures throughout his career. But I mean, very, in my opinion, you know, like the Ham Solo guy he played or whatever that was.
Oh, Spaceballs. Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of stuff that I was like, guys.
While so you were sleeping with Sandra Bullock, like that type of stuff?
Yeah, right? I made him print out Brain Dead because he had like his face. It was a famous video cover. Any horror guy will know that. And it was like stapled on or nailed to a ring. And Serpent in the Rainbow. Soon as he walked in, the first thing he said, he's like, where'd you guys get that Brain Dead picture? And then I did walk over and said, Bill, they'll take all the credit for all of this, but the Brain Dead was me, man. You know, like there's no way they're going to know that.
Did he give you that Bill Pullman look he does all throughout that show?
I also wasn't there the day that he did, I guess on 4th of July, where he recited the Independence Day, like right before Fourth of July break, he did the big speech for everyone in the cast and crew. But on a side note, this is also real cool. I'll let you go right after this. Dragged Across the Concrete. I think I mentioned to you guys. I don't know if I mentioned on the air, but I think it's safe to say. I did a day on The Equalizer. And Tori Kittles is one of the actors. And I guess the other day he shared a photo, and it was of my makeup that's appearing next Sunday at 8 o'clock. This Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Oh, no
like,
kidding.
Like, yeah, he shared it on his like Instagram story.
Now, Tori Kittles, he's the main guy from Dragged Across Concrete who gets roped into the robbery. Oh, that guy's a great actor.
And I mentioned that to him. I like I was like, hey, dude, you know, I hope, you know, I don't interrupt, but, you know, I freaking love that movie. And he's like, I love that movie. Okay. He loved it. Yeah, he was really you know, probably even maybe I was only there for half a day. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, for a moment there, you know, he's like, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, right. Cause that's like a movie it's like Howard Stern in 1983. You can't admit you liked Howard Stern.
And like one of the other girls was like, wow, what is that movie? I would love to check it out. And I was like, listen.
Well, right.
We're completely opposite in our movie taste. And I said, you are not going to like this movie.
A guy the other day, I don't know if I had told him to watch it or, he might have seen it on the podcast here. He texted me and said that he watched Dragged Across Concrete and Arizona. And I was like, ooh, well, it's either really good or you hate me. You know, it could go either way.
I've been recommending a lot of movies, but I've been getting good feedback. So, like, people are digging what I'm tossing out there.
We got to have a death match with Johnny Ganache still over Arizona. We got to settle. I think that's got to be settled physically somehow.
But maybe it's like...
By that I mean like sex.
You gotta watch it like the Big Lebowski. Maybe it takes a few minutes to
Right, yeah. You gotta just like kind of sit back, you gotta be laid back. You can't expect anything. Have no expectations and just enjoy the character. Just enjoy hanging out with these people. That's how I'd recommend Arkansas, which is, I guess, it's everywhere now.
Yeah,
I think a lot totally of people, I kind of feel like more people probably watched that movie on Amazon Prime since it was like on there so often than would have seen it in the theater. I think that just would have been a huge flop in the theater. So,
oh, again, yeah, no one's going to see that movie in the theater.
All right. I guess that's that. We had invited Mike from Music, Movies, and More, but he had not watched the Cecil podcast I'm talking about, Music, Movies, and More podcast, but he hadn't watched the Netflix doc, and neither did Matt Maisto, who always joins us from Mondo Creepy, who I guess is supposed to be filming a new episode in like a month.
Yeah. I guess I was talking to Pete about that a little bit, dropped off ahead for him.
Nice. Oh, you got all that done. That's cool to hear.
Yeah.
All right. So for Brian Spears, this is Carlos Danger for the Mobile Horror Companion, and we'll talk again soon.
Later.